Our speaker for this next hour is Brother Kevin Keehan.
You know, we live in a very strange age. Years ago, it used to be about the church, family, and friends. Church fellowship was very high on the list of the majority. Vacations with family and time with friends was very important. However, we live in a strange and challenging time where people love to roll the dice, flip the card, pull the slot machines, and scratch the lottery tickets. Good people, gambling is indeed, it is deep-rooted here in the United States. We can trace its roots all the way back to the days of the Wild West, to gangsters and mobs. In 1974, it was revealed that 2 out of every 3 Americans have gambled to some sense. And the sad thing about that is that the statistics have not changed for the good at all. Still, 2 out of every 3 Americans say that they have or would be willing to make some sort of a bet in everyday walk of life. It is a multi-million dollar business. Some $30 billion is gambled each year. $30 billion have laid at the waste on some card, flip of the card, upon the pull of a slot machine, or upon some form of gambling here in the United States. And good people, what do we learn in regard to gambling? It is very addictive. Those who participate in gambling can easily become addicted to this sin. In all of this, in regard to gambling is to play a game of chance for money or for some other stake. It is to bet something of value with a conscious risk of the hope of gain. Good people, in regard to gambling, first off, we need to understand what it is that we're not talking about. We are not talking about the stock market. The stock market is where an individual will make an investment into stocks, bonds, or mutual funds, or other such things. It is the investment into the company where that both the investor as well as the company itself can either make gain or loss. Also, sometimes people will say, well, what about the farmer? The farmer takes all kinds of gambles and risks. Good people, in like figure, the farmer is making an investment into a crop, and not only is it an investment, in like figure, he is investing not only money, but time to labor and to work that crop so that it will indeed make gain so that he's able to provide for his family, for his all-around well-being. Some people, though, will say, well, what about the game of life? You know, Kevin, there's all kinds of risk in regard to life alone. Good people, life certainly is filled with risk, but also we need to understand that those risks that we have in life, that they come with life. It's natural to drive and to be at risk whenever we're driving, to fly and to have that risk involved, or to walk out and to cross the street. There are risks, but good people, these things are certainly not what we're discussing this morning, whenever we think in regard to the sin of gambling. God's Word does not define or does not give the term gambling specifically. However, we do understand concerning God's Word is that the Bible is from God. It is His message to mankind. Also, we understand concerning God's Word is that it is God's message that supplies everything that we need pertaining to life and unto godliness. And God, through the Bible, states things explicitly to where He clearly spells out, sometimes calling things directly by names, but also where He teaches implicitly to where some of the things that we find in the Bible, God has implied. And what do we think in regard to gambling? Good people, today, while God does not explicitly speak about gambling, implicitly we do find that God has dealt with us concerning this thing that we are discussing this morning of gambling. The Bible will indeed be the standard used against us and for us whenever we stand before our God in the day of judgment. What is it that the Bible says in regard to gambling? Good people, the Bible very clearly spells out that gambling is sin. Gambling, in all form or fashion, is sin. We have legalized gambling here in the United States, where each state will have state lotteries, and they will put thousands upon top of thousands of dollars at stake in an attempt to draw or to entice people into buying those lottery tickets, but also we have the sin of casino gambling. In this, there are facilities that will try to get people to come in and to roll the dice, to pull the slot machines or to flip the cards, to lay their life savings or to lay their weekly paycheck upon the lines. But also there's track betting. In Louisville, Kentucky, the Kentucky Derby runs each year in May, I believe it is. And that's one of the most drawing times of gambling in southern Indiana and Kentucky. And in fact, not only in those parts of the country, people fly in from all over the world to lay their dollars on the line for a horse to run down the track. But also there's illegal gambling, or at least in some states, raffle tickets and punch boards, or even sporting events. We are entering into what is called March Madness. And in that, it is basketball at its best, where the NCAA is getting ready to be played. And in this, you will have opportunities in your workplaces to fill in the blanks, to pick your team that you believe is going to win the NCAA tournament, and to pay your dollar or your $5. And good people, in all of this, this is illegal gambling, and certainly, if it's not illegal from a state-to-state basis, we understand that it would be illegal in the sight of our God. What makes gambling wrong, and what makes it sinful? Good people, first off, we need to understand that gambling encourages ungodly work ethics. The Bible identifies for us that man is commanded to work for a living. In fact, in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, man must earn his keep by the sweat of his brow. In the book of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28, the Apostle Paul, in speaking to the saints at Ephesus, identified to them that they were not to steal, but rather that each one was to work with his hand. He must labor in order to receive gain, in order to provide for his family. In fact, the Apostle Paul, in speaking to the saints in Thessalonica, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10, says that if a man will not work, neither shall he eat. The Bible identifies for us in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 9 that laziness is indeed the greatest form that will lead to disaster. Laziness is what gambling is all about. It is receiving something for doing nothing other than rolling the dice, flipping the cards, or scratching the lottery tickets. The people also, whenever we think in regard to gambling, gambling violates the principles of good stewardship. Why do we have what we have? We are blessed immensely in Christ, but also as humanity, we are blessed because of God. Our God continues to provide for those whom He has created. And in all of this, we are blessed with the things that we have because of God. James chapter 1 and verse 17. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above. God is responsible for giving us what we have, for giving us a job that we're able to go out and to earn our keep. But also what we learn from Psalms chapter 50 verses 8 through 10 is that everything belongs to God. Even though you and I might work for our living, the things that we have continues to belong unto our God. And God wants us to understand that He places these things into our care. That they do not belong to us solely, but rather that God places them into our care. We are responsible for the things that we have, whether it is things or whether it is money itself. God places you and me responsible for all things that you and I have possession of. And as we have the responsibility for these things, then God wants us to be good stewards. Well, what does it mean to be a good steward? Good people, it means that we make wise investments. It means that we consider before we spend a dollar. It means that we take into account exactly if this is indeed considered ethical or unethical, if it is indeed moral or immoral, if the thing would indeed bring glory and honor to God, or if it would bring shame unto His holy and righteous name. As good stewards, you and I must invest wisely the things that God has placed into our care to take good care of all that we have, and to realize that someday we will stand before God in judgment to give an account. To give an account for what? the Bible identifies, to give an account for our life here and give people a part of that will involve as to what we have done or not done with the things that God has placed into our care. Gambling violates the principles of good stewardship. But also, gambling completely contradicts the golden rule. The golden rule. You see, God, our God commands us to understand the value of humanity. In fact, we understand, as Jesus taught in the book of Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12, that we are to do unto others as we would have them to do unto us. He wants us to look at our fellow man and to want to treat them, but not only have a desire to treat them, but to do all that we can to treat them as what we would want them to treat us. None of us would want our neighbor to steal from us, correct? None of us would want our neighbor to take our paycheck that feeds the mouth of our family or pays the house bill or the utilities. And in like figure, you and I should not, must not engage in a game or in a gamble wherein that you and I would lay our neighbor or our fellow man's paycheck or livelihood on the line. You and I must do unto others as we would have them do unto us. The Bible tells us also that we must love our neighbor as ourselves. An individual who will take in the form of gambling from his neighbor does not demonstrate truly what love is. We also understand from a biblical context that you and I are responsible for not causing burdens, but rather to help carry burdens. We're to be burden bearers. An individual who enters into gambling is placing their family in a very grave situation to where that they can burden that family immensely. And if you and I participate in this sinful act, then in like figure we are contributing to this burden. Good people, the gambling contradicts completely the golden rule, and you and I must make certain that we love our fellow man, that we do all that we can to demonstrate the love that we have for mankind. But also we need to understand that gambling sets forth a very terrible example. The Bible teaches us that we are the salt of the earth. As the salt of the earth, we actually talked about that in part last week, to where that we help to give flavor to the earth. We are to help purify by the teaching and preaching of God's Word. But also the Bible tells us that we are the light of the world. The world is dark. And good people, the sin of gambling is a part of that darkness. And if you and I participate in the dark sin of gambling, we are not serving as the light. We are to serve as the light of God's Word. We are to serve as the light of what true Christianity is all about. And as a result of this, if we do live our lives according to godliness, then we're going to shine in that darkness, revealing, exposing the sin of gambling in this situation and setting. But also, on the other hand, if we participate, good people, you and I can be equal with the world. You and I can be just like the world. If we are not in the light, we're in darkness. And if we're in darkness, we're not of God, but rather we are of Satan. The Bible identifies unto us that what you and I must make certain that we are constantly striving to do in our life is to demonstrate unto the world that God expects us to be honest in all forms of life and to work hard as we go throughout the course of life to live up to that motto, to have a honest day's work for an honest day's pay. And to make certain that we do not give place for the devil and that we're doing all that we can to provide all things honest in the sight of all mankind. When man looks at us, they ought to see that indeed we will not take the easy street that the world has to offer, but rather that we will take the path that our God has clearly laid down. Gambling, though, gambling would set forth a terrible example of what it would mean to be a Christian, because indeed, those who gamble are not living up to the high standards of God. But also we understand concerning gambling is that it surrounds one with evil company. In the Bible, we understand, as the Apostle Paul taught to the saints at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18, that we are not to be equally yoked together with those who are unbelievers. In this, as we think in regard to gambling, the majority of those individuals who would participate in gambling cannot truly be believers in the truest sense as to be members of the Lord's church, but also in a sense that the world would even look at it to be believers in God in general. Why do I state that? Because if they were truly believers in God, even in a general sense, they would consider God's Word and what God says concerning this evil, and therefore they would not participate in it. But yet at the same time, those who do participate, the Bible would identify unto us that these people are unbelievers, that these people are not in a relationship with God. And if we would participate in the sin of gambling, then good people, you and I are in the company of those who would be identified as unbelievers. The Bible tells you and me as Christians that we must maintain our fellowship with the light, and that the light has absolutely no fellowship with darkness. And if the light tends to have fellowship with darkness, then in reality it is not true light. It is darkness. It would be the world itself. And good people, if we're in the company of those of the world, if we're in company with those who are sinners, and we're participating in the same type of sins, what does that make us? God's Word tells us then that that would make us a sinner. The Bible identifies to us then that you and I would lose our relationship with Jehovah God. Gambling surrounds us with evil company, but also gambling opens the door for other sinful behavior. You know, sin breeds sin. That's the bottom line. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33, evil company corrupts good morals. And while an individual might have a mind that believes in God, that loves God, if we surround ourselves with those who do not, it's going to affect us. It's going to influence us. It's going to impact the way that we think, the way that we live. And in this, not only would an individual find themselves participating in gambling, then along with that comes other sins. They might involve themselves in lying. Well, how would somebody or why would somebody lie if they're a gambler? I know of situations where people have gambled their paycheck away and they go home and they lie to their spouse, they lie to their family, the one that they are to love, to protect, and to provide for, as to what happened to their paycheck. It also breeds sin of sex. You go to Las Vegas, that's what it's all about. And good people, what draws all that in? Gambling does. It breeds a whole world of sin up on top of sin, of which you and I, as Christians, must not open doors to sin, but rather be those individuals who close doors to sin. Gambling is a sin. The Bible makes that very clear. Even though God does not explicitly say gambling in the Bible. Somebody might say, well, Kevin, what about where they were casting lots? Good people, where they were casting lots was not at all gambling. In fact, whenever lots were cast in the New Testament Scripture, we know that God was in control of the outcome, taken into consideration in the book of Acts chapter 2, where Matthias is chosen, lots were cast. We understand from the context there that God had already chose and that the casting of lots was just a revelation to those who were there as to who God's choice for the replacement of Judas was going to be. So God does not gamble, nor does God want His people to participate in gambling. Gambling is a sin. And you and I must never, ever participate in this sin. But in like figure, we need to do all that we can to get it overturned in our state. We need to do all that we can, even on a national level, to get rid of this. And good people, that means that we need to elect officials. It means that we need to speak up and that we need to elect officials who will stand where God wants us to stand, to go where God wants us to go, and to give allegiance to only Jehovah God. The big question that we have that a lot of people will pose, but Kevin, what about the innocent bets?
You know, what about the lottery that goes through the church office, or excuse me, that goes, you better not go through the church office, amen, that goes through the business office there at the place you work, in that where you do the NCAA thing. What about that? You know, it's all innocent, and all we do is we give a dollar or we give $5. Kevin, surely there's no harm in all of that. Could people know what the Scripture says? My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Sin is sin. No matter if it's big or small, no matter if it's legal or illegal, sin is sin. And if the sinner comes saying, listen, it's not that bad, everybody's doing it, don't consent. We also understand, as the Apostle Paul taught in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 22, that we are to abstain from every form of evil. Good people, not only to abstain from various forms of evil, but from every form of evil. And the world itself looks at gambling and they realize that it is a form of evil, and if Christians participate in it, then what are they giving an appearance of? Of participating in evil. And God says, abstain from, do not go close to, do not even think about getting involved in forms that are evil. Consider your life. You know, someday you and I will stand before God in judgment. The Bible states very clearly that Jesus Christ is coming again. Jesus taught in the book of John chapter 14 verses 1 through 4. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, in the way, you know. Jesus said that He had gone to prepare a place for us. And He says that I am coming again. And whenever He comes, He says, I will receive you unto myself. Good people, we also understand, as is taught in the book of Acts chapter 1 and verse 11, those who were there as Jesus ascended into heaven, they said that this same Jesus, this same man that you have seen ascend up, in like figure He shall descend again. We also understand in the book of Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 28 that Jesus is coming again. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 35 through 38. Also, the Apostle Paul, in speaking to the saints at Thessalonica, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, says that Jesus Christ is coming again. The big question is, upon everybody's mind, is when is He coming? It's interesting, when we think about Jesus coming, is that why, that's why, at least in part, why people will go off and live ungodly. They think that they have time to prepare, and therefore they'll get involved in the sin of gambling, and in other types of things that are wrong in Scripture, things that are sinful before God. They will participate in these things thinking that there's going to be some sort of a sign that God's going to give, and then therefore they're going to respond whenever that sign is there. The Bible tells us that there will be no signs, that He will come as a thief in the night. And the question is then, is when is He coming? And today we ask you, are you willing to gamble on when exactly that day will be? Too many people are gambling their life away. Too many people know that God wants so much for their soul to be saved. They realize that Jesus Christ is the means of salvation. And in fact, sometimes they will assemble themselves even here at East End with us. And whenever Greg or others offer the invitation song, they still sit idly by and spurn the invitation. Why do people do that? Why do we take gambles with our life? Good people, Jesus is coming again. And He wants so much for each of us to be ready. But the question and the response is ours. If you're outside of the body of Christ, would you consider your life? And in consideration of your life, would you please respond? Put Christ on in baptism. Give your life to Him. Live your life focused. Put away the cares of the world. Gambling, drinking, all that other stuff will be nothing. You'll see how silly, how crazy, and how sinful it is when you truly give your life to God.